Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Suffering is the common human experience. No matter who you are, no matter what your position in life may be, you are not above suffering. It's the natural consequence of the sin that is common to man. Sin is not simply the mistakes we make or the failures we have. Sin is the very corruption of God's good and gracious creation. Rebellion against His design and will. It started with a single act in the garden, but it infected our very nature. It even infused itself with all of creation. What God created for good now produces evil. From our hearts and our minds, to our bodies, to the very ground we walk on. Not only do we actively rebel against God and our sin, but all creation acts contrary to how God intended. What God created as life now rots away in death. This is where we find ourselves, the place where our relationships with God and one another are destroyed. Our bodies are subjected to the forces of nature as they wear out and are subject to sickness and disease. This is the place where we suffer. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? The story of humanity has included suffering from almost the very beginning, as the image that we were made in, the image of God, was distorted into the image of Satan. We lost our pure knowledge of God, of His purpose and will for us, as we became children of His wrath, buried by our sin. In our lost estate, we began searching and seeking our own ways to escape the suffering, the curse that was placed upon us because of our rebellion. In our sin, we multiplied our sin as we turned even farther away from God and made idols for ourselves, believing that the gods made with our own hands could deliver and restore us. Whether those be the ancient gods of Ra and Anubis, Zeus and Athena, Jupiter and Vulcan, Odin and Thor, the Brahman and Vishnu, the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas, or more of the modern gods of materialism, power, wealth, fame, social justice, politics, government, reason, alcohol, drugs, and all the other things we use to fill ourselves, to make ourselves feel better, and so on. We turn our eyes and our hearts to the things that we believe, that we trust can deliver us from our suffering. In ancient times, the gods were believed to dwell among the hills. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? But the psalmist knows that none of these false gods, these vain things, can help him in his greatest need. In the time of his suffering, he knows there is but one source for his true deliverance, for his true salvation. He does not seek his own way out of his suffering, but instead turns to the one who created all things. For when humanity rebelled against God and fell into sin, God gave them a promise of deliverance and restoration. Though for a time we suffer the effects of our sin, they drive us back to the only one who can deliver us. For we know that He has promised there will be a day when the same God who created all things will restore all things to an even greater estate than they were before. The bliss of Eden cannot even compare to the glory of the resurrection. So the psalmist did not just look to any hill, but to the hill of Zion, the place of God's temple, the place of His dwelling. I lift my eyes to the hill. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This same promise and confidence is what strengthened Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations while he was witnessing the wrath of God poured out upon the children of Israel. Though they were chosen to reveal God and His promise to the nations, though they were given the law and the prophets, and though they were made to prosper, their wickedness became like that of the world. So God had given them over into the hands of their enemies and allowed them to suffer that they might once again turn to Him. Even as he watched his countrymen being taken away from Mount Zion and off to foreign lands, and even as he watched the temple, the dwelling place of the Lord, be desecrated and destroyed, Jeremiah still declared, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, and my soul says, therefore I will hope in Him." Jeremiah knew that the suffering they endured was for a purpose, to drive them back to the Lord their God, and that it would eventually come to an end. "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, He will have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love. For He does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is your keeper. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." So where is the Lord in our suffering? Where is the Lord when we endure the consequences of our sin? Where is He when we wait upon Him for our salvation? Our eyes are lifted up to the hills, to Mount Zion, not because our God is far off and distant, not because He dwells in a temple, because it was there that the fullness of God's good and gracious reign has come in the one who hung upon the cross. God stepped forth in the flesh into our very suffering in the person of Christ to take all our suffering upon Himself. He truly is the one who did not deserve to face any of the consequence of sin, especially of death. Even so, God took on rotting mortal flesh to bring us under the good and gracious will of God. Christ came to redeem and restore us, that we who are dying may be swallowed up by life immortal, which can only be grasped by faith that He Himself gives. Before He was delivered up to the cross on Zion as the sacrifice for the whole world, Jesus ministered to the people in and around Zion so that we may have their testimony and know that without a doubt, He is the one through whom the rule and reign of God comes. While many did not know what to make of Jesus during His earthly ministry, even His own disciples, we do get to see glimpses of people whose eyes were opened in faith and lifted up to see the good and gracious rule and reign of God in and through Christ. We encounter in our text today Jairus, whose daughter was sick and near death. As the ruler of the synagogue, he would have been very influential in his community and well off. No doubt he exhausted all his resources, had the whole synagogue praying for his daughter, and paid for the best doctors to come and to see her. But in the end, all these things had failed him. Then, when he had heard that Jesus was near, his faith brought him, and he came at once and fell at the feet of Jesus, begging Him to come and save her. Jesus at once agreed to go, and while they were on the way, the crowd that followed Him pressed in upon Him. And among that crowd was one who was considered unclean, a woman who endured for 12 years her suffering. She too was wealthy and had spent much in the way of doctors, but was worse off than before. But when she heard that Jesus was near, her faith had brought her to him and told her that if she just reached out and touched his garments, that she would be made well. So soon as she did, she was healed of her disease. Jesus immediately turned around and asked who it was that touched his garments, knowing that she encountered the full rule and reign of God in Jesus in that moment. She was now confronted by him. She came in fear and trembling and fell down at his feet before him and told him the whole truth. All she wanted was to be delivered from her suffering. But in her faith, she sought out Christ and was given much more. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Because of her faith, she was not only healed, but she was made through faith in Christ to be one of God's own family. And given that peace which only God can give, not just from suffering from a disease, but from the consequences of her sin for all eternity, that very moment she encountered and was brought under the good and gracious rule and reign of God through Christ. As Jesus was dismissing her, someone came from Jairus' house to tell him that it was too late, that his daughter was dead. Jairus and his family were allowed to experience the suffering and that final consequence that sin had brought. They told Jairus not to bother Jesus any longer. After all, what could he do now? Yet Jesus would not let the faith of Jairus be dismissed so easily. And in that very moment where Jairus' faith must have been its weakest, Christ gave him strength. "Do not fear, only believe." After all, the very reason Christ came was to bring that good and gracious rule and reign of God in and through himself to overcome sin and death once and for all. So they press on, and when Christ sees the child, he commands, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Christ restored the relationships and the body that were destroyed in death. He gave them a testimony of faith so that we too may see, that we too might be strengthened as we endure our own suffering, to know that even though they endured suffering, Christ brought it to an end. He promises that as long as you endure in your suffering and your faith remains in him, Christ will not only deliver and restore you, but he will give you life everlasting. "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and in his only Son, who endured the suffering and death, that your own suffering and death may not be in vain. For as long as you place your faith and trust in Christ, he promises your salvation and life everlasting. You have been brought into his family through faith, and he gives you peace from your sins. Christ has been made your head, and you his body. Where the head is, resurrected in the glory of the Father, there too the body will be. The one who died and rose again to destroy sin and death is your keeper. So the good and gracious rule and reign of God now comes to you through him, through his word and his sacrament, through the servants that he has given to you, through each other. And he will keep you from all evil, as salvation is now yours. He will keep your life for life eternal. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.